Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 5, day 1 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 5, 1 through 2. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. This is a very short passage here that we're starting with this week, but it's a very important one. If we remember and recall what we finished with last week, there was chapter 4 was an entire series of events that takes place over basically 2-3 generations of people, the better part of 70 plus years. And what we were shown is all of the opposition to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem over a period of time. It's not chronological in the sense of chapter 4 wasn't, in the sense of the rest of this book. It is chronological, documenting all of the opposition. But what we have is it's a bit of a parenthetical section, meaning that we're pausing the storyline in chapter 4, and we're looking at all of the opposition over a long period of time. And then we end that pause, and we come back to the actual chronology of our storyline in chapter 5. And so now in chapter 5, we're backtracking from the end of chapter 4. The end of chapter 4 is 70, 80-ish years in the future from right now. We come back to this period of time during the reign of King Darius. And if you're watching on YouTube, I have the timeline up here. You can see that, and again, all of the dates on the timeline, if you aren't watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this, I encourage you to download the timeline off of the show notes or sign up for the email list and you'll have this in there. But the people return, and everything on this timeline is a rough estimate. The dates are not exact, but for the purposes of understanding a comparison, we have in about 538 BC, we have the people coming back to Jerusalem, and we don't have the temple rebuilt until like 520, 518, 516, somewhere in there. So we have 20-ish years before they actually get this thing rebuilt, and it's because of Haggai and Zechariah, as you can see there. And so we've gone from Cyrus the Great to King Darius, or Hystaspes, as he's known in some places when you're looking at secular histories of the Babylonians and the Persians. And so there's a long period of time where, there's nothing really going on. And when we look at the beginning of chapter 4, we see what's happened is they don't want the people of Israel rebuilding this. And so all of the local leadership, the non-Jewish leadership, are doing everything in their power to keep Joshua and Zerubbabel from rebuilding the temple. And it works. And so for this period of time, they're not doing anything. And then, and this is the important part of this, we're going to begin chapter 5 talking about Haggai and Zechariah. We're going to end chapter 6. So 5 and 6 is going to be one narrative, one story about how really these two guys got the ball rolling again. And the Lord sent these two prophets. These guys aren't prophesying on their own. A lot of modern scholars, especially those that don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in God, will say, well, you know, well, these guys came and, you know, they started kind of preaching this message to get this done, and that's what got them going. And yes, they were vocal. Haggai and Zechariah were very vocal, and that's very obvious throughout the course of this storyline, but they're not very vocal on their own behalf. They are speaking on behalf of the Lord. And so when you read people in commentary saying that they kind of, you know, decided to go in and encourage the people and kind of come up with this storyline, that is totally bogus, because when you read Haggai and Zechariah, their two books are recorded in Scripture. Very fascinating prophetic scriptures. And I encourage you to, at some point during, you know, our study of Ezra, read those two books as well. They're relatively short. Haggai is very short. Zechariah is a little bit longer. But they are not speaking on their own behalf. Haggai is very, very short and mostly deals with this time period. Zechariah is a little bit longer. It deals with this time period, but Zechariah is actually prophesying about a whole bunch more stuff. He's actually, like, the Lord is giving him revelation about the end times, even in this book. And so this is an incredibly pivotal time in the history of God's redemptive plan for the world. Getting this temple done at this time is pivotal in that redemptive plan that involves us today. And the book of Zechariah brings that in, because not only is Zechariah prophesying about this particular time period here, he's also prophesying about, you know, stuff way in the future that hasn't happened yet, end times things. So we've got things like the two olive branches, the two witnesses that we see in Revelation. And the book of Revelation, John specifically references several of the end times prophecies in Zechariah. And so these two men, they are not prophesying. They're not coming up with encouraging things to tell the exiles to get this done. They're not motivational speakers. Now, they may have been motivational. They did actually motivate them to get this going, but they're not motivational speakers coming up with their own words to tell these people. They're actually speaking on behalf of the Lord. These are the words of the Lord through Haggai and Zechariah. And one of the main things that they're saying, when we read the list of the exiles coming back, we read about all of the people that they came back with, their possessions. I mean, there are something like one out of every seven of these people is a servant, you know, like kind of like there's a slave or either an indentured servant or a hired servants that serve all these people. So they're very wealthy. They have, some of them have singers. I mean, and remember, when we go back to this time period, they didn't have MP3s, they didn't have CDs or tapes or anything. And so if you wanted music in your house, you either had to make it yourself or hire someone to make it. And so they actually, a number of these really wealthy people that came back from Babylon, they actually had hired musicians for their own personal enjoyment. That's how wealthy some of these people are. And when they come back, and the message that Zechariah and Haggai give them in their prophetic books, we don't get into that in Ezra, but the message that they have is, listen, you came back with all kinds of money. You were incredibly wealthy when you came back. And the mental imagery that they give you here is that, you know, the Lord's saying, you came back, and because you didn't build the house of the Lord, because you went and built your own, you know, paneled houses and made your the places that you live beautiful while neglecting to rebuild the house of God, it's like your pockets had holes in them. And, you know, every time you stuff money into your pockets, the money falls right out. And so what we have is the Lord is saying, because you didn't rebuild the temple first like I sent you back to do, instead you focus on building your own houses, the money just flowed right through you. And now everyone's broke. Now all of these wealthy people, they're out of money and they're broke. And the Lord's saying, I did that. I did that. And we can correct that. Like, I'm trying to get your attention here, exiles. Like, listen to what I'm saying and do what I'm asking you to do, and there will be blessing, is what he's saying. And so this is the motivation that Zerubbabel and Joshua needed. I mean, they have lost heart. The people have lost heart. And so they didn't build the temple. They didn't rebuild the temple. And so Haggai and Zechariah come in and they speak these words of the Lord to them. And they're not speaking at the exact same time, as far as we know, but kind of over this period of time where they get moving on rebuilding the temple, they're both there prophesying. They're both there encouraging them by the prophetic word of the Lord to finish this. And they are going to finish the temple after a long, you know, 25 years, something like that. They're going to finish the temple, and they're actually going to, you know, they've already laid the foundations of the temple, but nothing else got built. And so from that point on, they've just been sitting on it, and now they're going to finish it actually very quickly. They're going to get to work, and they're going to work very diligently. They're going to work very hard on finishing the temple because of the prophetic word of the Lord. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.